comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another live radio show on this Tuesday night, the 8th of July, 2013. This is the Abiding Presence. Tonight, we're really going to stress the phrase limits and boundaries. Over the last 5 to 8 radio shows, we've really tried to rock your world, to really give you things to consider. Perhaps for some of you, too much too soon, be that as it may. But we're going to do that again tonight. Most people do not live in the present. Think about your day, how much you think about yesterday, what somebody said yesterday, something that happened last week, how somebody did you wrong years ago. We spend so many minutes out of the 24 hours of each day recalling, reflecting, mourning over things that are done and gone. Sure, quite perhaps remembering the past is a way of not repeating yourself in the future, and there's things to learn. I'll grant you that. You're absolutely right. But yet that doesn't mean to surround yourself with memories and with current history. Now remember, current history, that you cannot enjoy today, but you are completely prevented from even possibly enjoying or seeing tomorrow. Everybody loves the saying that God's power, God's love, grace is limitless. It's boundless. That His glory has no end to it. The sky is the limit. But yet, our lives on a day-to-day basis are nothing but limits and boundaries. We leave nothing to chance. We have no open-mindedness whatsoever. It's very difficult to acknowledge grace, to receive grace, to have a healing occur, when in fact your focus is on the injury. My knee hurts because I was in a traffic accident 5 years ago. My shoulder hurts ever since I was in the military. Every time it's going to rain, my hip hurts. And you recall back when you didn't have the pain. You think about the injury, the doctor's exam, the x-rays, the ice, the anti-inflammatory, the pain pills, the braces. You think about this when you have your pain. So you're not even living in the pain of the day. You're not living in the condition of your body it is right now as you listen to this radio show. Look where your energy lies. Look where your thought process. It's to the past. It's very clear in Scripture. Don't worry about where you sleep, what you're going to eat, or what you wear. That is nothing but past and future. So on tonight's show, that's exactly what we're going to be talking about, is how you can recognize the energy, the thoughts, the emotions, the pains, the anguish, the dramas of the day that really should be ignored, set aside. Because no matter how much gravity they hold, no matter how much pain you are in, whether it's physical or emotional or financial, it's pointless. Because either you're enjoying grace and acknowledging grace, or frankly, you're suffering from the past that has no meaning to your future. And Jim, this happens a lot to people in organized religion where it's literally like walking in a circle. There's really no new scenery to see as you walk. You really don't go anywhere. But yet, boy, are you busy. But there's really nothing for distance or future, is there?
No, in fact, if there is something with distance and future, those people sometimes are highly scrutinized as though there's possibly something wrong. Maybe they're hearing voices. Maybe they're off because they're actually experiencing more of God than the rest or than the group. And this is really sad because everything about Christ should be giving people all kinds of wonderful individual new experiences, and when you come together to share these experiences, it should just bring that much more creativity and imagination to the mind and the heart of everyone to have more of God. In fact, a scripture I'm looking at right now is over in Ephesians 4 and verse 20 in the Message Bible. It says, "That's no life for you." And Paul was just talking about people that have lost touch with God and with reality itself. He said, "You've learned Christ. My assumption is that you have paid careful attention to him, been well instructed in the truth precisely as we have it in Jesus." Verse 22, "Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it, and then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you." Now, a scripture like that helps to prove our point tonight, that Paul is doing all he can to move people forward and get them out of the rut of complacency. And that really has a lot to do with what we're sharing. I think we can use different words for it, but complacency really pretty well spells out living in the past, thinking from the past, and trying to redirect your future while your mind is back on the way that you've always done what you've done.
And speaking of the future, we've just started the radio show, so there is a lot of time to send text messages to the show.
Yeah, good.
The way you send a text message, if you're new, oh, by the way, if you're a new listener, welcome. We're here every Tuesday night for an hour and a half, 2 hours, however it works out.
here in the barn in Oklahoma, and yes, we are in a barn, and the barn is got over 1,000, smells good in the barn, doesn't it?
Real good smell.
Fresh baled hay in the barn. Yep. Baled hay over the holiday weekend, 4th of July. The way you send a text message is the first word that you type in your message is the word grace. After you type the word grace, you can finish off your text message. And then when you press the send button, and the number you want to put in is only 5 digits long, no 1, no area code, 69302. That's 69302. If you'd like to send an email, it's the name of Jim's radio show, The Abiding Presence. No capital letters, no space, just the name of the radio show. And that's at Gmail, the letter G, gmail.com. Comments, questions, whether they have to do with the subject matter is really not the point. The point is that Jim and I are here in the barn on this Tuesday night, so take advantage and reach out. Or say hello to family or friends. If you look at Genesis, I like to stress the fact that people really, unfortunately, I don't know, either they miss the message, they go past it.
Sure.
But so many people overlook the power of the book of Genesis. And one of the main things, if you look at Genesis, is the punishment of Adam and Eve and the serpent. What is the real weight of the measure of that punishment? It's really not about their day. Even in the wording, in God's words to them, find that, Jim.
You shall.
So you shall. About,
yeah.
He talks about how you'll have to work.
I'll get it.
How childbirth will be painful.
Right.
How when you die, how the serpent will be biting at the heel of man. It's all about the future of their punishment, mm-hmm. not the present, but the future of their punishment. Huh. There's so many places in Scripture that when you really look at it from, okay, are they talking about what's going to happen right now, this instant? Are they talking about what happened yesterday? Or are they talking about events and instances to come? You can see that it's all about the future. Yep. And one example that I want to give is, somebody sent me a message on my radio show Facebook page about horses. I'm not going to mention their name, but I just think this is a good time to read that.
It's good.
Okay, what the deal is somebody sent me a picture of a bird, like a sparrow or a wren, in the palm of their hand. And this is what they wrote. It says, "Hi, BJ. Went for a run this morning and found this sparrow, I think it's one anyway, near the road, gasping for breath. I immediately felt compassion for this baby bird and picked it up and asked God to allow it to live. Told the bird to live and not to die. It died in my hand in a few minutes. I was ticked and said to God, 'If you want me to raise people from the dead, how is that going to happen if I can't even keep a bird from dying?' I even took the bird home, expecting life could still come. After all, Lazarus was deader than a doornail for 3 days, and he came back to life. What the heck, BJ? What am I missing?" And then my initial reply was, "You really did not commit. Instead of asking for life, you should have been thankful. Do not ask for things to be done. Thank the guys for them to be already done." And then they sent back, "I'm trying to get this, BJ. Are you insinuating that I did not commit to believe the bird had or has life? Should I have been thankful that God gives birds and was able to even hold a bird in my hand? Is it my posture asking for things that is an error instead of believing I already have what he promises?" And then I wrote, "Yes, if the guys say, 'Do not worry about where you sleep or clothes or food,' that the animals and the birds are taken care of, why would you have to ask for what is already done? Instead, be thankful and recognize grace. Tough to enjoy grace that is there when asking for it to be there. And then it says, but it died, BJ. And I said, yes, it was alive and you thought to prevent its death by asking for help. You recognized the possibility death instead of the apparent life. If you would have rejoiced in the life and thanked the guys for a positive situation, things would be different. And then I just signed off back to work in the barn. Ask Jim, perhaps his point of view will also prove to be helpful to you. And Jim, what's your perspective on this?
My perspective is, honestly, I just really enjoyed what you wrote, and I totally am not only seeing that, but getting that in my own life. It is about the forward progress. It is about seeing yourself already completed, that God's already been there, that He's waiting on you to step into the future, your next moment, not worrying about your last moment. All the subject matter for tonight, I have some really great scriptures about this as well that just help to feed this. So I really liked the answers, and that would be what I would actually say I agree with wholeheartedly, is it's very easy to put your attention on trying to get something to happen instead of having the mindset that it's already fixed. In fact, I tell this when I'm out on the road, but there was a guy in a service a few years ago that he was 82 or 3 years old, and he died in the service. And to say that, I don't say that lightly. We had a nurse, registered nurse in the service, and there were paramedics that came. And he just threw his head back, just slumped down in his seat, lost his bowels, which is a part of someone dying like that, had that death rattle in his throat.
Yeah.
The whole deal. The lady came over, and I'm preaching while this is going on. She came over and checked, and there was no breath, and checked his pulse. There was no pulse. And they called the paramedics. Now, the confusion that it caused me to say to everybody, hey, give me your attention right here. I said, now you just pay attention to what I'm getting ready to say. There's nothing going on. There's nothing going on that can't be fixed. And I said, I say there's nothing wrong here. I said, so just pay attention to what I say. And I just said to him, I said, I command life to come back into you. Now, I know that may not necessarily be the exact way to say it, but listen to my point as I say this. Immediately he sat up and took this huge breath, big, huge eyes, and said, what's going on? So he was like, as though he was clueless. Paramedics arrived, took him out, and said that his heart was perfect. There was nothing wrong with him. Okay, and I tell people, I said, the reason why it worked for me is because, and I usually set this up to say, this is going to be real deep here, so get ready. The reason why it worked is because I didn't know he was dead. For instance,
right.
If I'd have known he was dead, I would have built a big case around, let's bring him back from the dead.
And where's the effort? Where's the energy?
Well, exactly.
That's all about death and dying.
I didn't know he was dead. So I'm treating him as though everything is fine, and he's going to be fine when I tell him, you're fine. And that's exactly what happened. He came back. So it was a lesson to me that actually verifies what we're talking about here tonight.
The only comment I have to say on that story is I know exactly how that older guy feels. The buildings that I've been in and the TV shows that I've listened to, they darn near killed me.
Sure.
That's how screwed up and messed up they are.
Hopefully my preaching didn't kill them.
You know, some of the things that I watch on TV.
Yeah.
I don't even watch these religious people on TV if I've eaten, because I know it's just going to come right back up,
mm-hmm.
like a roller coaster ride. the thing that happens in our lives, especially to the religion, is think of your life like this, and the way that you worship. It's like a holiday meal, okay? It's Thanksgiving or Christmas, and you have turkey. You have a big turkey meal for the holiday. Well, then the next day you have turkey sandwiches. Then the next day you have turkey and noodle casserole.
Right.
Then the next day after that you have
turkey soup.
Turkey soup. And then the next day after that you have turkey loaf. It's all the ground up stuff like hamburger, and instead of beef or pork meatloaf, it's turkey loaf. So all of a sudden, every meal is turkey. It's just been altered a little bit. It gets old, it gets boring, it gets tired, and you're never really satisfied. This is what happens in organized religion. Okay, so they tell you God is good. Great, you've been saved. It's wonderful that you've been baptized, and I guess it's okay that you've had a warm little cup of bitter grapefruit juice or grape juice and a cookie that has no filling or flavor or no chocolate chips in it. Okay, great. So you've had communion. That's all well and good. But then you have to say, now what?
Right.
Even Jesus, when he was baptized by John the Baptist in the river, he never really mentioned it. He just said, okay, been there, done that, got the t-shirt, now it's time for me to get to work. And he immediately excelled in his ability to service his fellow man.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. Let me read this scripture here. It's in Colossians 3, 1 and 2 in the Message. And it says, so if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what's going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. I like that, don't you?
I do. We talked about the punishments in Genesis, how they talk about the future, not even the present.
I've got those right here if you want.
I do. I want you to read that. Now, folks, but when Jim is reading these, I want you to think about what is in the future, how these are words of what is to come that hasn't happened yet, that shows that even in the punishment, God is showing that it's always about tomorrow. It's not about today, and it certainly isn't about yesterday.
It says to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field, and on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between her seed and your seed. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Then to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And then to Adam he said, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it. All the days of your life, both thorns and thistles, it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and for dust you shall return.
And see, folks, look how this talks about how it's all about things to come. Activities that haven't occurred yet.
Right.
A life that hasn't been lived. And then there's other scripture that talks about if you think you're going to say something wrong, cut your tongue out. If you think you're going to steal, cut your hand off. If you're going to look at somebody disrespectfully, pluck your eye out. It's talking about things that you are just maybe considering that haven't occurred. You haven't even started them yet.
Right.
It's all about the future. The reason the statement pertains to all your sins are forgiven, it's about not what you have just done, not what you're doing, but what you potentially may do in the future. If you look at grace, if you look at your relationship with Christ as this being tomorrow, this evening after the show, and that you're thankful for tomorrow, how good it's going to be. Look at the responsibility of Christ and the words in Scripture to make sure that comes true.
Yeah. You know, God said right in the fourth chapter of Genesis to Cain and Abel, and they brought their sacrifice, and Abel's sacrifice, he accepted, Cain's he didn't. And Cain became angry. And so the Lord said to him, "Why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." And then the next couple of verses, what it says here is Cain went ahead and killed his brother Abel.
Yeah.
So even what God was talking to him was about, you're getting ready to put a stamp on your future with what you're getting ready to do right now. So it was all about, even the things that God tried to protect them from, was about what was going to happen in the future. How much more would our faith need to be in what God has already done and not trying to get God to do something?
We got a couple of text messages. Remember, folks, we love emails and text messages. Our first text message of the night says, "Hello to Jim, BJ, and Ranger." And it says, "And all the listeners, and a special hi to my mom in Wyoming." Well, we've never had that hello before.
No, we haven't.
And then we have another text that says, "Wow, I love how you just answered that email. Thanks for sharing that." And speaking of emails, we have some emails here. We've got one that says, "Hey, BJ, why didn't you take Ranger to the bank? Next time, bring your dog. The Weaver kids listening in their jammies." All right, here's what the deal is. We were baling hay a couple days ago.
Right.
It was Thursday, July 3rd, last Thursday. And I went into town while we were raking hay, and I'd been grooming horses. I mean, I was dirty. I was sweaty. I hadn't shaved in 2 days. I looked like I lived under a bridge. And I'm in the bank, and there's this guy who's all cleaned up in short pants like he's going to a 4th of July barbecue. And he says, "Is your name BJ?" And I went, "Maybe." And he says, "Well," and this is what he said. "He just got done listening to your show on the 24/7 stream."
Okay.
And I said, "Yeah, it's me." And he says, "Boy, I love that show." He says, "We just didn't get to listen to it live." And I thanked him. Well, I was in a bank I'd never been in before. And I was asking for several thousand dollars in cash, you know, to pay labor over the weekend for the I wanted to pay everybody in cash because it was a holiday weekend.
Sure.
So I was like cashing a check for several thousand in cash. And they didn't know me. And so they were wondering, you know, and this lady looks at me and she says, "You are on the radio." And I says, "Look, I know it doesn't look like it, but yeah, I actually am on the radio." Well, the comment was, as one of the cowgirls was out in the truck, and I had the chore truck, and it was too hot. So I left Ranger at home in the air conditioning.
Right.
And so the kids wanted to meet Ranger, and I didn't have Ranger.
Hmm.
So that's what that email's about.
Okay, that's good.
I know, I like that one. Okay, we got another email here it's from Sue. It says, "Hi, Ranger, Jim, and BJ. Barbecue chicken for dinner and Dreyer's peanut butter cup ice cream for dessert tonight. Missed your show last week, but I'm happy to be listening tonight. Hi, Mom and Dad. Hi, Dave and Barb and everyone listening. Sue in California." And then it says, "By the way, I'm living in Tracy now, about 15 miles east of Livermore." Now, Tracy is a little more agricultural than Livermore, at least it used to be. And Tracy is just a little hotter than Livermore.
Hmm.
And I know where Tracy is. I've gone fishing and hunting and worked a lot of horses, baled hay in Tracy, California. And ironically, Jim brought me a barbecued chicken tonight for my supper after the show.
Yeah. So you got chicken.
Yeah, he stopped at a grocery store and bought one of those fully cooked deli chicken. So I'm having barbecued chicken and chocolate chip ice cream.
There you go.
Boy, Sue and I are pretty close tonight.
Really close tonight.
Yeah, pretty close. All right, we got one more email here, then we're caught up. This came in 5 days ago. It says, "Fell asleep and missed Tuesday's show. Great again, thank you. I have a few questions. We'll listen for answers next week. Well, tonight is next week.
Uh-huh.
What is missing from all these churches that one has to listen to your show to learn all these things? And then it says, what technically is the presence of God? I come from the Word Faith camp, so I'd love some meaningful New Testament references. You hear people in some buildings reference the presence as a feeling. I don't think that is accurate. What should a Christian interaction be between the presence and a relationship with God and the Word look like? This is the best show on earth. Thank you so much for sharing. And this is from someone named Ronald. I don't know what Word Faith Camp means, so you're going to have to answer this.
That's Word of Faith Camp is just a group of people like where I came from, you know, with talking about healing and being filled with the Holy Ghost. And they put great emphasis on speaking the word and that type of thing. One of the things that I'll share about that is one of the things we do on our show that I feel that is different and unique, but it shouldn't be different or unique to Christians. It's just different from what most people do and what you're describing, what this email is describing. But most of the time, people's conception of God is relegated to a building and a worship service. We're making the emphasis of a person's relationship be all about 24/7, wherever you are. So your heart is open to experiencing God all the time. Like, for instance, you'll have individuals that don't have an answer to prayer, that will continue to keep some of their same struggles, but will come out of a religious service or worship time in some of these type of churches saying, the glory of God was wonderful. I could feel God's presence everywhere. It was so thick tonight, it was like cutting him out with a knife. And without even realizing what they're saying is, I could tell God was there, I could tell people were being helped, but I didn't take advantage of it. So in other words, it's all back in that building, and I have to go there next week, hoping next week will be different than this week. And it's all about the same thing we're talking about tonight, living in the past. And this is how most people do, so this is what people expect the next week. Kind of like if the crystal ball drops on my seat that night, then I'll have something great. So what we're trying to do here is to break that mold where people can begin to open up their eyes and really begin to see God involved, personally present in their life on a regular basis. And that's something that's extremely important. And as people have done that, that's why you hear people saying things like, this is a great show, this is really helping me, because they're beginning to experience God more than just occasionally on their Sunday services.
I think that there is a way for people to really maybe get some benefit out of tonight's show if they look at it, the expectations and demands that pertain to the flesh and the world. There's no question that when someone goes to the picture show to watch a movie,
right,
that they're going to be able to buy popcorn with butter on it. They expect that.
Right.
They think about it. They look forward to it. And the only real decision is, how big of a boxer bag do I get?
Sure.
There's no question that when you're in traffic and the light turns red, that everybody that is going the same direction to you is going to come to a complete stop.
Correct.
You start to plan for it, you start to space it, and you can see the cars in front of you, their brake lights coming on. So you know that the light's going to turn red because it's yellow, and you're going to have to stop. There's no question of what the future is bringing, and you're thinking about it. You don't think about the last time you went to the movies. You think about the time you're going now. You don't think about the last time you came to a stop. You're thinking about the stop that you're going to make. It sounds kind of simple in a broad stroke, but it's really not. Because this shows that your mind has the capabilities, the tools, the understanding, and here's what's very important, has habits of anticipating and inspecting and envisioning the future.
Yeah, sure.
You just don't have that for grace.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very good.
So you have the tools. Mm-hmm. You have the ability. Mm-hmm. It's literally easy to do, and it gets easier all the time. You've just never applied it. So possibly somebody listening tonight can say, okay, I see how this works. And think of it. It doesn't say when you pray, when you ask, you'll receive some things. It literally just says ask and you'll receive.
Right.
Well, what do I receive? Whatever you ask. There's no limits. There's no boundaries there. But there are so many limits and boundaries to our daily lives.
Sure.
And there's even, and we make this work. We pile it on and we burden ourselves with yesterday's, last week's, last year's.
Right.
How many people have a relationship that has failed? Whether they've broken up and they're not dating that person in school anymore, or it's a divorce. And it's years gone by, and they're so still wrapped up in the pain and drama and memories of it that they can't enjoy a new relationship with someone new.
Yeah, yeah, very good. I want to give a scripture that I think backs this up, because this email asked for a scripture. And I think you'll find that this is very appropriate. It says over here in John 5:39 in the Message Bible, it says, "You have your heads in your Bibles constantly because you think you'll find eternal life there, but you miss the forest for the trees. These scriptures are all about me, and here I am standing right before you, and you aren't willing to receive from me the life you say you want." And I think to add on to what BJ said, I think that this is one of the problems that actually there is in many of these different camps. We put so much emphasis around scriptures that we don't let the scriptures actually be experienced in a relationship with God. So people can know scriptures, but they don't necessarily have a connection with the Lord. And if they're looking at certain trees and that's not helping them, then maybe they need to open up their eyes and lift up their heads to look beyond where they're looking. And I think the real emphasis of this show is to help everybody see the forest for the trees and begin to make appropriate choices that allow God to be more real to you, where everybody can begin to have something that to themselves is special. The time that you spend with the Lord, the voice of God that you hear in your heart, being led by the Spirit, and having all of that make sense with the scriptures that you know, instead of just having the scriptures that you know. So this is another part to that email, I think, that goes with it.
Look at it. I want to look at it this way. I know for a fact that every person that's listening to this radio show tonight, that's going to be listening till next week, and then once it's on the archives, there has been at least two or three times in your life when this has occurred. Whether someone just piled the information on and they just could not shut up, or it was from a movie or a television show or a book you read, or a friend or a neighbor or a relative that was all involved with it. There is some type of activity. How to mow a lawn, how to build a birdhouse, how to go fishing, how to change a vacuum cleaner bag. Whatever it is, you have information that you've never used. But yet you have a working knowledge on how to apply it, because someone drilled it into your brain or you witnessed someone do it several times. But you've never been in a position to take advantage of what you learned, what you read, what you heard, and apply it. But yet, you're familiar with it. It isn't strange to you.
Mm-hmm.
You've just never applied it. That is over-worshipping. That is doctrine. That is organized religion. It's wonderful to know the glory of God. It is an amazing pleasure to know that Christ is real and that He is watching over you and you can drown in grace. But frankly, so what?
Right.
Who cares? That's really nice. But until you are immersed in it, until it's part of your day-to-day life, until you're watching TV and you look out the window and you say, oh, there's grace. Until you're brushing your teeth and you look in the mirror and there's God standing right next to you saying good morning. How special is it to have all this information and not apply it?
Yeah, that's good.
What's the point?
Right.
What is the good in it?
Yeah. Well, that's really Paul's whole message, isn't it? I mean, he constantly is trying to help people to have the experience of God, not just the knowledge of God. I'm going to open up a can of worms here, and it's all completely about the same thing we're talking about, but some scriptures that really brings light to God's perspective. Remember, I read that just a little bit ago here, where don't shuffle along with the eyes to the ground, absorbed with things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what's going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from His perspective. That's Colossians 1, or 3, 1 and 2. Now I'm going to go to Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. I want you to pay special attention to these words here, where Isaiah says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Now, take a verse of scripture like that and look at what it's saying. God sees the end before something even begins. He understands yesterday, today, and forever as though it was one timepiece. So when we're talking about seeing things from a broader perspective with no limitations and no boundaries, there's no one that does this better than God Himself. He literally inhabits eternity. And you can take every time period, wrap it up together, and God sees it all at the same time. And this is extremely helpful to you, that if you're connected to somebody that already knows who's going to win the horse race, you can bet the farm today.
Well, think of this statement. You will do greater works than me.
Right, right.
What kind of an open-end statement is that? Think at how powerful that is. It doesn't say some works. It doesn't say once in a while. It literally says, you will do greater works than me.
Yeah.
We got an email here that came in about 9 minutes ago. It says, hi, BJ. Hi, Jim. It says, please read this on the show. This is Donna. I wrote to you last Tuesday night about my situation. She's got a new boyfriend, an old boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
And there's lots of drama.
Oh, yeah.
And the new boyfriend, I guess, is kind of jealous, and there's just all kinds of things going on. You were going to read my email in private due to all the drama. Did the both of you get a chance? I have been waiting all week to know what you have to say. Just in case you have more to say in private, this is my email, and it says, thank you, Donna.
Donna, I'll respond to that tomorrow. So be expecting.
Do you have that email?
Yeah, be expecting email.
I'm going to respond to it right now. If your new boyfriend is so involved with thinking about your old boyfriend, there's no time for him to think about you in the future. I mean, it's kind of hard to cook a fresh meal and to serve it on a clean plate when your focus is on dirty pots and old plates. It's just that simple, and he seems to be more concerned about how he feels than
there you go
than how he feels about you. Unless you're going on triple dates, you're going to get hot fudge sundaes with both these guys. The point ought to be is I'm spending my time with you. If my time is with you, why are your thoughts not
there you go.
Of with me?
Right.
And you just got to look at it hardcore like that. And I just have something to say. There are people that are really nice. They pay their bills on time. They have fresh breath and white teeth. And their cars are shiny. And they pay their taxes on time. But that doesn't mean that it's going to be smooth sailing. It's very hard to sustain a positive relationship, whether it's two friends playing softball, two kids in Little League, two fishing buddies, two women that like to golf and go to coffee shops. It's hard to be a team. And when somebody is not participating in a team way, and it's all about them, it's all about the past, well, there comes a time when you have to look at that and say, quite possibly, I need to leave. Sometimes it's not worth trying to fix something. It's just best to leave it alone and move on to something that can work.
Mm-hmm.
I think people waste way too much time trying to correct, fix, and manipulate situations with other people when it is so much easier just to move on. Because if you can't force someone to think, say, or feel anyway. You just can't do it.
Right.
Either they want to do it and they try to do it, or they do it, or they just aren't and they won't and they're not. That's just my personal belief.
Yeah. Well, you know, along this subject line, BJ, these are some scriptures that you know, just the whole idea that we have a Genesis and a Revelation. And remember in there, in Revelation, it talks about he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And then in Revelation 1:11, it says he's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the one who was, the one who is, and the one who is to come. All of that about God and his character, how he sees both ends,
right,
is very important for us to see that this is the reason why there's no reason to live in the past. There's no reason to have all your concerns and energy about your present, that you really can be with God having experienced everything for you, very excited about your future, your next 10 minutes, your next hour.
Look at the conscious choice and lifestyle that Jesus made. His hometown, where he was born, where he went to school, where Jesus was in Little League and Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts, his own hometown didn't recognize his relationship or his dad.
Right.
His own past, his own growth as a child, he completely blew it off and ignored it because it had nothing to do with his future plans and abilities.
Right, sure.
And look what Moses did, what God told Moses, put your brother in charge, tell your wife and kids, you'll see him later, and move on. Look at Noah, how put everything on hold and build a boat for all the birds and the bees. Look at so many places in Scripture where people literally just dropped everything and made a complete 180-degree change. And it's all about humbling and repenting.
Sure.
It talks about how change your thoughts, change your life, and move on to the future of having a relationship with the guys.
Yeah. Yeah, very good.
We got another email here that's really bizarre. It must be chicken night on your show. Because Sue had chicken. You brought me a chicken to eat. And now we've got, it says, hey, Jim, BJ, and Ranger, it's like dinner and a movie here at the house tonight, except it was barbecued chicken on the grill and your radio show. We really look forward to Tuesday nights. Oh, this is from Tim Yokley.
Oh, good.
one of your breakfast buddies.
Breakfast, yep.
And so, yeah. And what are you going to have when you get home tonight?
Probably nothing.
Really?
Yeah.
Why don't you? I told you, take the chicken.
No.
And I'll have pork chops.
No, I brought that chicken for you. We already talked about
really?
That.
Really?
Yep.
Well, I'd rather have pork chops because I don't like being like everybody else. That spooks me out. It said, we got another email that came in about a minute ago. It says, hi, Jim, BJ, and Ranger, and all the listeners, especially those in Ontario, Canada. How do I acquire a working knowledge? I am not sure how to go about bringing people to acquire God's healing. I'm going to a family reunion soon. I want to bring healing and a relationship with God to them. What do you suggest? Jim?
Well, I mean, this goes back to anything that we have to do with this show, where the more real grace is to you and the more you recognize God's grace, the more you participate in it. And the first thing about helping someone with healing is to recognize that you have something to give them. You have God's presence with you, which is God's grace, the Holy Spirit. And so if you're going to go talk to somebody about healing, then be equipped with a consciousness of having healing to give them. That's what Jesus said. He said, freely you've received, now freely give it. It's just really that simple. It's supposed to be that simple, that if you recognize that you have something to give, you can give it. If I know I have a $10 bill in my pocket and I know exactly where it's at, then I can immediately get it out and get it into circulation, give it to someone who needs it. But if I'm not sure where it is and I have to look through all my clothes and I still can't find it, even though you know you have it, so to speak, it's not tangible to you. And this is the reason why we're trying to help everybody have a tangible relationship with God, where he's real to you, where your prayers work, and they'll not only work for you, but they'll work for others.
I think the best way to have friends or loved ones, family members or neighbors, that you want them to have a relationship with God and enjoy grace is, I think it's testimony. I think it's example. I think one of the best things is when someone says, you're different. What's going on? Nothing bothers you.
Right.
You're in a good mood. Your health is good. You know, what's the story? I'd kind of like whatever you're eating, I want to eat it. What's going on with you? And that is lead by example. I think if you want people to have more grace in their lives, if you want people to have a relationship with the guys, I think you should enhance your own relationship with the guys.
Hmm.
I think you should enhance your own amount of grace that you acknowledge and enjoy in your life. Because the more that you enjoy, the more that you have, and the farther you go, it's going to show that, and it's going to ooze out of you. I think one of the problems with organized religion and well-meaning people is, it's all well and good to tell somebody how good something is. It's wonderful to tell people how things can be better, but if they're not better for you and you're not enjoying it, it's a tough sell.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing for someone to say, I want some of that when you don't have it.
Right.
And so I think to get as much as you can in yourself, I think it's about displaying. We got another email that came in 3 minutes ago. It says, hey, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. A great show and history lesson on Trinidad last week.
That's good.
It says, we also missed last week's show as we were helping out the kids with their end-of-term exams and studies. There is so much information and gems that come out from each of the programs that we are encouraged to listen to each session multiple times. Tonight's topic is vital, and we are just excited by the examples and experiences from you both. Thank you. Also, hello to all the listeners, and we hope that they are encouraged to get grace. Work for them as it works for us. P.S. Look for a gift from us that was sent to the P.O. Box address. Some assembly required.
Hmm.
That's interesting. And this was from Wendell and Stacy Millett on the island of Trinidad, which is, a spitting distance, a stone throw away from Antarctica, the South Pole. And remember, I couldn't believe the photo of them in sandals,
yeah,
in tank top T-shirts and short pants,
right,
all suntan. They're lucky they didn't get frostbit. They're lucky some polar bear didn't come out of the frozen tundra and ice flows around Trinidad and just, you know.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to have a problem with that, really.
You don't think the polar bear?
No. No, no, no.
Well, I'm going to Google polar bear attacks in Trinidad and just see how many they've been in 2014.
Okay.
So, well, the year's half over. But nice to hear from Trinidad. Hope they're staying warm and snuggled and you know.
Well, you know, I have, I want to continue this subject here from a couple interesting points of view here. And that is, let me just for a moment set this up. We're talking about you having confidence and seeing grace. And grace is about no limits and boundaries. And it's about seeing the future and understanding what God's already done for you. And so for just a moment, let me go ahead and give you a couple scriptures that show you that God's all about planning your future and about being in your future. And you should be excited and thankful that things are perfectly fine in your future, and you don't have to buy into any type of calamity or crisis that's happening today. Over in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "For we are God's handiwork, His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live." Now, if you listen to that, it says, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. Well, if there's good things ahead of you, then we certainly shouldn't be putting any of our attention on something that doesn't look good at this moment. And that's one of the reasons even Paul made reference to the fact that every good thing works, all things work together for good to those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose, over in Romans chapter 8. And so I want to give one more scripture that makes this point, over in Revelation 13:8, that says, "All who dwell on the earth will worship Him whose names have not been written in the book of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Look at Jesus and all that He went through. This scripture tells us that this was already written in ink of what Jesus was going to have to do and have to accomplish before He ever got on the planet. God already had a plan in place. So you have to ask yourself the question, if God is a good God, what kind of plan does He have for you? Does He have horrible things waiting on you for your future? Or does He have great things in your future? And this is one of the things we're discovering here in this show here tonight. Any more emails? Or
Folks, if you'd like to email the show, it's the name of the show, The Abiding Presence, at G, the letter G is in grandmasgravy@gmail.com. If you'd like to send a text to the show, the first word that you type in your text message is the letter grace. And then you send it to this 5-digit high-speed text number, 69302. That's 69302. Did you hear that static in your headphones?
I did.
I don't know what that's from. I thought maybe my cell phone was getting a call. Did your phone get a call or a text?
It got a little message.
Just now?
Yeah, maybe that was it.
That was it. Well, maybe the message is something to do with the show. Maybe you ought to check.
No, it was just a timer.
Oh.
An alert.
Speaking of alert, folks, I have some exciting, wonderful news. And kind of a little, I told you so. There are a couple of television shows on HBO and Showtime, and they're both talking about how golf courses are losing money. That golf courses are going bankrupt, foreclosed, and that some golf courses are just full of weeds and they ran out of business, and that kids aren't taking up as much golf, and golf is losing money and not being as popular. It's just one more indication that grace is out there helping people to get over the terrible affliction of golf. I just thought I would share that exciting, wonderful news with people that golf is not doing well.
Do you feel better?
I feel exhilarated, liberated.
You do not.
What do you mean I do not? I feel like there is a great weight lifted off of my shoulders.
Oh, gee.
I just wanted to get, I think our listeners want to stay informed with extremely important current events.
I need to hit a few more golf balls into your pasture.
Go ahead. They don't hurt nothing. They don't hurt anything. The mowers go over them. I'll tell you what I've started doing, though, that seems to help is we've got about 30 baby chickens that are about 4 months old now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to start to lay eggs.
Right.
And what we're starting to do is put golf balls in the nesting boxes. And they're starting to sit on the golf balls, and it's kind of helping them to lay eggs.
Hmm.
And then I also...
That's a new idea.
Well, no, it's a really old idea. It's not mine. I can't take credit for it. And then after the chickens have laid on the golf balls and the golf balls smell like chickens, then I throw them around the taller grass around the outside of the chicken coop, and snakes eat the golf balls thinking they swallowed an egg.
Do they really?
Yeah, and they can't digest golf balls, so it's like snake repellent. It kills them.
Huh.
Because we hate snakes at this ranch.
Yeah.
And, you kill them on the golf course.
Yeah, I do. Killed one recently.
That, Jim, on tonight's topic where we talk about how people are embroiled, I mean, and you know, so many times I think that people really don't realize how much of their daily thoughts and behavior is literally controlled by past occurrences and events.
Right.
Things that can't be changed. There's nothing you can do about it. But yet, it lingers and it affects so many areas of their life.
Yeah, these thought patterns are extremely subconscious. I mean, most people don't realize from the moment that you get up in the morning and you make that decision to get out of bed, you're literally making hundreds of decisions before you eat something at noon. And the most of them, if you think about it, the most of those decisions are made without even thinking. They're not necessarily thoughts that you're planning, that you're spending time orchestrating what you're going to do. Most of those decisions are thought processes that have been so ingrained in your pattern or habit or the rituals that you're about during your day that you just go through them really without thought, unconscious in a sense, subconscious, I would say, better word. And my point of this is to say, what if most of those thought patterns are yielding themselves to patterns based on past history, good feelings and bad feelings based on how yesterday was and what you're supposed to expect today based on whether what you experienced yesterday it was defeatable or whether you've had a terrible loss and you find yourself in despair. This is the type of stuff that literally can cause you to almost be filled with what I call entertainment. I'll have people come to me in a prayer line and want to have a healing, and sometimes I'll ask them the question, are you ready to give it up? And they'll look kind of bewildered at you. What do you mean? I said, well, the way you described it to me, you're pretty well engrossed in this whole thing. You've got doctor's appointments. You've got schedules. You've got scheduled your medications that you take. Your life is literally eat up with being this way. You've got to be ready to give it up.
One thing that happens, and I really don't understand it because they don't add any new items or products. There's like nothing new to buy. But every once in a while, I'll go to this really, you know which grocery store, this really expensive, fancy city people grocery store. And every once in a while, an entire aisle is just completely discombobulated. I mean, the stuff that was on the top shelf is on the bottom shelf, and the stuff that was on the left-hand side is now on the right side. I mean, that whole aisle, both sides, has just been completely Chinese, car chase switched around.
Right.
And I'll watch people. Whenever it happens, I camp out. And I watch people. And it's amazing how many minutes they complain, how many minutes of their life they think about where stuff used to be. This happened last week, and I didn't want to leave the ranch for a couple of different reasons, so I kind of like stocked up on everything. And there was these two women, and they were in this aisle, and they literally talked for 10 minutes. They would say, "This is where this used to be. Do you remember? It was just last week. It was right here on this shelf." And the other says, "I do. And remember how there was 4 rows of it? Look, now there's only 3 rows of it." Hmm. And they were just talking for 10 minutes. And I just thought, and at the end of that 10 minutes, they says, "Well, I can't find anything. We're just going to have to look." And I thought, if you guys would have shut up and said, "Oh, well, now we have to learn where everything
right.
is now."
Right.
You would have been a lot happier, a lot less stressful, and you would have had in your shopping cart what you always like to buy. People do not like change. They get upset when a menu is changed. They get upset when the furniture has been rearranged in the house.
Right, right.
They get upset when someone has rearranged the garage. When their room is cleaned. Get upset because, "No, that's not where I park my car. No, that's not where I put the broom in the dustpan. That's not the way I hang the towels in the bathroom." These are all indicators of
sure.
why perhaps you're struggling
right.
to have
right.
a relationship with Christ.
Right.
And why your prayers may not be working quite well. Because you can't let go of the past because you want to bring the past into the present and you can't think about the future.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is especially true with financial troubles and physical pain.
Well, you know, Jesus taught the disciples, they asked him, and he made some questions or made some statements about prayer. And he said, "Pray this way, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And BJ, I don't know if you've heard that before, but just think of what I just said. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Which means God's already got this thing mapped out. The blueprint's already there for everyone's life and to have an amazing life with grace leading the way into wonderful experiences with God. And Jesus is saying, pray that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Or you could say, as it already is in heaven.
Right.
Because your future's already been mapped out. And that doesn't mean in a scary way to say you can't change it. No, we change our own destiny constantly with our perspective and the way that we see things. And the way that we see things goes to how we feel about them and the choices we make. But I love that scripture because it helps somebody to realize God's already into your next 10 minutes. If you'll not be stagnant in the place that you are and lift up your eyes and look ahead, you'll find that there's a lot of wonderful things to experience in your future. In fact, you and I talked about this. I know we've got some more things coming with emails, but we talked about how Jesus looked at people.
Yeah.
He didn't keep people stuck in any place where there was a problem. In fact, you could almost say Jesus didn't see the problems.
Well, he didn't. The guy says, if I'm healed, I can't see." And he said, "Go home. Walk home."
Right, which you could ask the question, how does a guy that can't see go home?
Look at the lady that crawled on her hands and knees just to touch the back of Jesus' wranglers.
Right.
Look at the guys that had the guy on the stretcher that punched a hole through the ceiling.
Sure.
It was all about the future.
Yeah.
It wasn't about punching a hole through the ceiling. It wasn't about the guy on the stretcher. It was about getting from point A to point B no matter what.
Correct. Correct.
We got an email that just came in about 4 minutes ago. It says, "In response to your reply to the question about bringing healing and a relationship to others, you pointed out how firstly, one needs to recognize that they have something to give them, etc., etc. My question on top of that is, then doesn't the person on the other end need to be responsive or receive what has been imparted to them? It says, your friends in Pennsylvania, Keisha, Brian, etc., and all the kids.
Well, of course it does, and that's probably the reason why I liked BJ's compliment to the answer that said, bring your own testimonies. It's the testimonies that opens up the hearts and minds of people and nudges them. This is the scripture here when Jesus said, people, his disciples said, why do you tell stories? He said the stories open people up and nudge them forward to receptivity.
They do need to be responsive. They do need to be open-minded to receive. But the problem is, that's not your responsibility. That's not on your shoulders. One of the most important things in Paul's letters was, he literally said this in his writings. You were with Jesus. You have seen God. You've experienced grace. You've seen healings. You've seen people that were lepers not be lepers. You've seen people that were blind that could see. And you have gone back to your old worldly, fleshly life. You're not sinning. You're not killing people. You're not doing anything wrong. You just have stopped in your advancement, and you have turned your back on your relationship with grace. He was reminding him of that. It goes to what I always say. You can't force someone to have a relationship with God.
Right.
This is where relationships, this is where husbands and wives, boyfriends and girlfriends, brothers and sisters, and brothers and brothers and sisters, you get the idea. Friends and friends, this is where the wheels come off the wagon, where problems instill. Because someone is motivated, someone is excited, someone is making advancements, and the other person is not. So someone says, wait, slow down, wait for me, or the other person wants to slow down and wait for them.
Right.
But this is about individuality. It's about people having an open mind and an open heart. The only thing that any of us ever can do is lead, teach, and live by example.
Right. Right. Right.
My prayers do work. I do watch television with Christ. I do bale hay with grace. I do go to town for a hot fudge Sunday with the guys. All I can do is that, and to be the best and develop my relationship as much as I can and enjoy it as I can. Because if I slow down, if I try to alter, to appease or adjust to somebody, then what am I doing to my own relationship with God? I'm discounting it. I'm stopping it. I'm slowing it down. I'm choosing someone else's life and choices to be my own.
And what is it, for everyone listening, that actually draws you to even this program, but the stories and the message that is about having tangibility with God? This is one of the things that everybody wants. If you really go back, you can think of it like this. Adam and Eve in the garden, even after they sinned, they could hear God's voice and they could recognize his presence. They knew where he was and they heard what he was saying. And they weren't even connected at that point. They were disconnected, and yet they could hear God and they knew where he was. Well, when I go around preaching, every place I go to preach, if there was one commonality, no matter where I go, people want to hear God's voice for themselves, and they want to recognize God's presence for themselves. Folks, this is what makes what we're doing appealing to people, because this is the very thing that people are desiring and wanting. Now, if you'll listen to what was just said, you can hear one of the keys in that is to just go ahead and individually begin to experience God for yourself, and don't slow down, so that the greater the testimony, the greater impact you'll have on people's lives, and the more it'll mean than just saying, here's a scripture, you say, here's my testimony.
One of the one of the dynamics I don't know. Are we friends?
Yes.
We are?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I think so.
All right. Very well, then. I guess we're friends. One of the dynamics to you and I, you and me, Jim, is that although we both have a connection with the guys, although we both have that one signature prayer that has set us on our paths, our paths are more than polar opposite.
Right.
And we aren't even close to direction or speed. But yet, together is better than apart. You know, a couple of years ago I said both of us can do really interesting and really good things, but together we can do even more
right.
wondrous, greatest things. And it's always kind of, every once in a while, both of us have to pause for a moment and realize that something has happened, information has been shared that is not pertinent or is actually of no real benefit to one of us because of our lives and the choices we make and our relationships with the guys.
Right.
Well, that is mentioned in several different ways in Scripture. It says some of you will be carpenters, some of you will be teachers, some right. of you will be farmers.
Right.
And the fact that look at the people that Jesus met that went with him. I mean, look at his little gang. Or right. what were they called?
Disciples.
Disciples. I mean, some were...
Most of them, fishermen,
carpenters.
Carpenters, tax collector, doctor.
See, a varied lifestyle, varied economics,
right.
varied social, you know, all different. But yet they all had a common denominator.
Yeah.
And the more time they spent with Jesus, the more time they spent learning about grace, the more alike they became.
Right.
But yet they never lost that individuality.
Right, sure.
And I think that people would serve themselves better if they took this into consideration.
Yeah, well, this is a great point, and it's the reason why even, in fact, I think it was only maybe a week ago, we made the comment. We made it a little bit tonight, too, but you look at the individuality of how God gave punishment to Adam and Eve and exactly what that punishment was for each individual, and it was different and specific, and it just goes to show how individual everyone's relationship was supposed to be then and how it's supposed to be now. And this is probably one of the places where you do. You have people judging. There's a scripture, I could look it up, but it says, don't judge yourself by someone else.
Well, look at Paul. Some of Paul's most important, profound writings came from prison.
Right.
Not as a free man.
Right.
Willing to do what he wants when he wanted, but when he was locked up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you apply that to the people that listen to this radio show, then perhaps maybe they should consider what they think is important and the agenda of the day is really not a task or feelings to consider, but their feelings to dismiss and tasks to put on the shoulders of Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, get it off themselves.
We just got a text message in. It says, seeing exciting progress in many areas, including healing, except for some old symptoms. And then it says, pre-grace. Help. And then it says, thanks. Well, if you're seeing progress in many areas, including healing, except for some old symptoms, what have we been talking about tonight?
Right.
And look at what you just texted the radio show.
Right. It's all about the past.
It's about the past.
And
it's
what's
about
more real to you.
It's about symptoms and the fact that you say pre-grace. Well, I'm really sorry, but there's no such thing as pre-grace. You're born with grace. There is no pre-grace. There might be a part of your time or your consciousness as a human being where you didn't acknowledge grace and you didn't use grace, but it was there all the same. And so I just want to clarify that about that little phrase of quote unquote pre-grace.
We got let me make this comment too about that. You know, that to me a comment like that pre-grace, the symptoms that I had beforehand, that all goes back to Jesus talking about that you can remove a mountain with a speck of faith. In other words, what you're dealing with, you've made it become a mountain because it's already defeated, it's already handled. Your future is intact with absolute health and strength, something that Jesus already gave us. So to put your focus and your thoughts on where you haven't been able to get success is literally building a mountain, creating your own wall between God. That's why he would say it's only a speck of faith to remove a mountain, because the mountain's really not as real as you make it to be.
I like that. We got an email that came in about 2 minutes ago. We're all caught up. This would be a great time for someone to send a text or an email. And the way you can send texts or emails, there's written instructions on the radio show's website on the contact page, by the way. It says, "Hey, Ranger, BJ and Jim, you want to say hello?" What is it? What else? I don't know.
She's really ready.
She was laying down and she just sprung to her feet and wanted to say that. Is there anything else? Are you sure?
What else?
All right. You got it out. You're done, right? Okay. Good girl. I have no idea why she's so wound up. Well, we had a pretty easy day today. So she didn't do much work outside as normally. It says, "Hey, Ranger, BJ, and Jim, shout out to the other listeners tonight all around the world. Great show. Really great message about the individuality of our personal walks, but the power of learning up, like you guys have to bring out the best in each other. Really enjoying Jim's What is Reality series and the 8 What is Reality videos that were just recorded and posted." What's that about?
Remember I went to Pennsylvania a couple weeks ago?
Oh, okay, yeah.
And they're up on Jim Hockaday Facebook. David posted them.
Now, speaking of Jim Hockaday Facebook, are you going to be at the Hardesty Library?
I will, tomorrow.
Tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. And is it going to be, how's that streaming going,
you
the
know,
live streaming?
The last couple weeks hasn't gone well, so this week I'm promised it'll go much better, so it should be a better feed for everybody.
Yeah, because I think there's a lot of people that...
Well, I know they're starting to get into it, so...
Yeah. Now, the emails and the texts that we've had tonight, Jim, what do you make of them? How do you think they fit in with what we're talking about? Do you think that we're clear? That we're helping people to notice that there's something that they should consider making adjustments on?
Well, first, I don't see any difference in these emails and the questions I get on the road all the time from people, which is, and I understand if we've been taught how to just buy into your problem first. I think it was a long time ago I made this comment about a friend of mine that was a Christian scientist, and he got saved, and he loves the Lord now. But anyhow, he made the comment to me when he was growing up all his life. He said he can remember multiple times having flu symptoms before going to school, and it was up in Canada where he went to school, so he had to walk over a mile to the school through sometimes 2 or 3 feet of snow.
And he said he can remember getting up with flu symptoms, and his mother would look at him and say, "Son, get your clothes on. We don't believe in sickness."
Right.
And he said, I never remember sickness staying with me. Only a couple times, he said, usually it was gone before I left the house, but a couple times it stayed with me until I put my hand on the door to the schoolhouse. And when I walked in, every symptom disappeared. And he said, it's what we didn't believe in. Now, see, there's a difference. Because if you look at what we call the Christian church, we believe in sickness so much that we're preparing ourselves constantly for it. In fact, you could say, and someone may think to themselves, this is a really negative thing for me to say, but you could say, if you looked at most of the people that are quoting scriptures about healing, if you were to go into their medicine cabinets, they're full of the latest and the greatest over-the-counter medicines to prepare them for what would happen if they got sick. See, we believe in sickness more than we believe in healing. That's the reason why we accept it so easily.
It's like someone who knows they're going on vacation, so they buy a first aid kit. They've never had a first aid kit in a car before, but they're going on a long road trip, so they go to the drugstore and they buy a first aid kit.
Uh-huh.
There's all kinds of instances where people are so fixated on negative energy,
right,
and things going wrong,
right,
and trying to do God's work to make sure that things go okay, that they miss countless, literally countless opportunities to see the wonders of God's,
right,
love.
Right, right. I believe that wholeheartedly. Yep.
I mean, it is tough to see the loving protection of Christ when you're buying first aid kits.
Mm-hmm.
When you're increasing your health insurance policy.
Right.
Well, it's been 6 months, and we got that postcard in the mail that says our teeth need to be cleaned and we need x-rays. There's no such thing as an ounce of prevention is a pound of cure. It's either you're living with grace or you're not.
Right.
I mean, the real punishment of Adam and Eve, it has always been the loss of connection. That break in the row of dominoes, that the bolt cutters cutting that link that is the chain between grace and the flesh of the person.
Yeah, and you know, to even further talk about or answer your question, BJ, you look over in the scriptures, like in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, it says, giving thanks to God who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And then Peter talks about that we have all things that pertain to life and godliness has already been given to us. See, this is the finished work of Jesus. People talk about it so much. It's all about the finished work of Jesus. It's all about the finished work of Jesus. And they use that statement to say it's all about what he did, and it's not about what we do in order to receive from him this wonderful benefit of being saved. And that's absolutely so. But the finished work of Jesus goes further than just getting saved, than just having your start. If it is finished and everything has been provided for us, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places is already ours. All things that pertain to life and godliness are already in our hands. Then to put energy trying to get them is to actually, in a sense, discount and distract you from the reality that they're yours. I see this in Jesus and even in his life, where it says over in Matthew chapter 8, 16 and 17, it says that he went about, let me just get that verse of scripture up. It says this, When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. That's where Isaiah, way, way before Jesus was even born into the world, he saw Jesus on the cross taking our affliction, taking our pains and our sicknesses, and right there, right then, handling all of them and giving us a victory. Well, it says about Jesus that he was healing the sick and casting out devils, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken. So look at what Jesus did, BJ. He actually healed people on a borrowed scripture that he hadn't yet even fulfilled. If that's not looking unto grace,
right, forward,
forward with no limitation and no boundary, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
It's a perfect example of how God wants you to see yourself completely well and become more ecstatic about being well than trying to get healed. Does that make sense?
It does.
Oh my goodness. We having storms in Oklahoma?
Little dramatics there.
Yeah, I wonder, did anybody email or text and say, did anybody jump in your seat? Like I did in my microphone
you
ear.
You did, you jumped.
Jumped thinking, holy smokes, what just happened to our system?
Yeah, there's a...
But those of you who live in Oklahoma know it can be just that real.
No, I think what you said is literally like that. Just a crack of lightning and the wind howling it's so sad. I see people sitting in restaurants. They don't look at each other. They're not talking to each other. They're sitting at the breakfast table. One's watching TV, the other one's reading a newspaper. I'll see a family going down the highway, and everybody's texting, or the kids are watching some movie television screen that comes flipping down out of the roof of the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
There's technology and the lifestyle that we're leading right now on the 7th of July is not productive for understanding grace or having a relationship with grace. It's about self gratuity and self fulfillment.
Yeah.
It's not about the whole family sitting around listening to the radio. It isn't really about the whole family sitting down to watch television. I remember when, if there was a television, it was the only one in the house.
Yeah.
Now there's TVs everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere.
And it is this separation, and it is this thought of individuality that keeps people apart.
Hmm.
And if they're apart from each other, living separate lives, even though your relationship with Christ is individual, it's going to make it that much harder for you to express your feelings and progress with other people, because until you have a partnership and a joining with the guys, how can you pass that along? When you're living such a singular life away from grace, how do you pass that along?
You know, this is a good
point.
Did
that make sense?
It did. And I'll give you a scripture here in Romans 1 and 19. It says, but the basic reality of God is plain enough. Open your eyes, and there it is. By taking a long and thoughtful look at what God has created, people have always been able to see what their eyes as such can't see. Eternal power, for instance, and the mystery of his divine being. So nobody has a good excuse. Did you hear that?
I did.
Well, here's the point. If no one's taking a long look at what God has made, but their eyes are engrossed in all the technology of the day, what are they missing? They're missing the very thing that's so important, is seeing that God is the one that's made all of this. The reflection of God everywhere versus being literally swamped with technology.
Well, and And look what this does. You know, I've mentioned before where so many religious organizations, the entire message is on a movie screen. Or there is nobody. You just look at a television set.
Right.
Or it's a television show. And matter of fact, this applies to this radio show this evening.
Right.
It's good. It's wonderful that you listen. It's an amazing compliment to Jim and myself and my dog Ranger that you listen and you listen more than once. But you need to advance on your own with the tangibility of Christ.
Right.
You can't rely on something of the flesh or the world.
Yeah.
It has to come from in your heart, because we're born with grace. We have grace in us. And you have to allow that to come to the surface, and you have to cultivate that.
Yeah.
We got an email from Sue in California.
Yes.
And she says, "Yes, I jumped and one of my dogs walked out of the room with a crack of lightning and the wind howling."
Right. Yeah, well, I jumped too, Sue, so. Hey, there's a verse of scripture I want to definitely get to here, because I think it'll put a real good summary on what we're talking about. Remember, you know, if we're talking about that God has already done everything for us, that grace is about the future and about experiencing Him, and using that email as a real good example of, I put emphasis on trying to get the bird to be raised instead of having such thankfulness in my heart about the life that was protected by God. If, like God said, or Jesus said about the birds, look at the birds, unfettered, carefree in the care of God. Well, if they're carefree in the care of God, and God cares more about us than them, then you can give your tangibility to the life and not put so much emphasis on trying to give it life when it already has it. Well, that's something that came at the beginning of this show. And as we're using this show to move forward, I want you to again remember, God is an amazing planner. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He has a preordained path for every one of us that's filled with nothing but experiencing Him and the joy that comes from that relationship. And all the things of life that are necessary for us, Jesus said, get added to us when God is first place. All right. Listen to this scripture here, because it's going to help you to see that the children of Israel missed so much of what they could have had because their perspective was based, their future perspective was based on how bad things had been. It's exactly what we're talking about tonight over in Hebrews and chapter 4. And it says in verse 1 through 3, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest." And when it says they didn't mix faith with those who heard it, in other words, there was no forward progress with what they heard. It says here, "So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest," notice the last part, "although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." Now, putting that into perspective, think about this. Israel coming out of Egypt, going through the Red Sea, and they're ready to go into the promised land. But that generation would not see the future, and they didn't see God in the promised land. All they saw was difficulty, hardship, giants in the lands, and cities that were walled to the sky. In other words, they literally crumbled by having such a poor perspective. But notice the scripture says, "although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." Listen, before the world was even put together, God already preordained for them to go into the promised land, and by the grace of God, by God's power and the Holy Spirit, by all His angels with Him, literally the whole band together, God already had victory after victory after victory, tremendous testimonies and experiences with Him, where it would be nothing but joy, not hard work, but God doing most of the work. But they missed it because they couldn't see it. And this is the point of our discussion tonight. There's so much of God in every breath of your future
There's no reason for you to put all of your weight and tangibility into your past.
We got a text that says, Jim, thanks for updating the reality classes. Keep them coming. They are so helpful. That's from Dorothea.
Good.
Is that the Dorothea, New Jersey?
Yes, and her sister Diane is the one that makes the butter crunch.
Oh, and then someone says, we had a power surge at the same time you did the sound effects.
Oh, well, that's pretty appropriate.
Well, you know what they say. Yeah. It's all about timing.
Sure it is.
It's all about timing. All right. What do you think? Did this go in the direction you wanted tonight?
Yeah.
I think it did.
Let me give one example from Jesus, because we've already given a few. BJ did. And I'll just give this one because of how profound it is. Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue in Mark chapter 5. And he came to Jesus and he said, begging him, please come. My daughter is at the point of death. Jesus says, I'll go with you to your house. On the way to the house, the woman with the issue of blood, she comes and touches the hem of his garment, the hem of his Wranglers, BJ style, the hem of his garment, and she's made completely well. Then she tells Jesus the whole story. I don't know how long it took her, but she told him the whole story. In other words, Jairus is waiting now on this woman and her story. When Jesus and Jairus start going and heading toward the house again, the servant of Jairus comes and says, don't trouble the master any further, your daughter is dead. Immediately when Jesus hears this, he says, don't fear, only believe. What's that all about? Folks, if she's dead, she's dead. There is no future. So why would Jesus say, don't fear, only believe, unless Jesus is nothing but full of the future? Do you see where his faith was placed? Not on trying to get a dead girl up, but on dismissing the idea that she could be dead at all. And when they got to the house, there were already people there in mourning. And Jesus looked at all of them and said, why are you weeping? The child is not dead. She's simply taking a nap. And they literally laughed him to scorn until he threw them all out of the room. And then when he looked at little Tabitha, he didn't rebuke death, didn't say, I command death to leave, I demand that it depart. All Jesus said was, okay, honey, it's time to get up. And she got up. And then he said, give her something to eat. She's probably hungry. I mean, when you sleep that long, you're usually starving in the morning. Do you see how nonchalant Jesus was, that his confidence was about the fact that everything was already fixed? Grace was in the future. The power of the Holy Ghost was all about him seeing things that are already done, not dwelling on things that aren't complete. That's what it means about the finished work of Jesus. Do you think that helped at all?
I don't know. Got kind of confusing for me.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, we don't want anybody confused with that. We just don't want you to put your trust and your faith in trying to get God to do something he's already done.
You ready for music?
I am. Well, Lord, we ask you, because of even that last example, just cause people's minds and hearts to be open so that they can see the truth of what we've shared tonight. Help them to see not to put their energy in the wrong place, to literally not look at trees when there's a whole forest, but to see it all, the broad stroke, so that they can see that you're actually in everything, and the greatest part of you being there means everything's just actually perfect and fine, and there's really nothing wrong. So with the faith of a mustard seed, I thank you, Lord, that mountains come down, and the truth is known, that things are not really as they seem. But with Christ and grace on hand, we thank you, Lord, that everything is really great. In Jesus' name, amen.
No, that was pretty good. Well, we're all caught up on emails. We're all caught up on text messages, I believe. Check real quick. Remember, folks, you can email Jim at this email address, and I'll forward them on to him. The text messaging only works while we're on the show, and that it takes about 15-20 minutes for me to get tonight's radio show recorded and then up and streaming.
Right.
And last week's show will instantly start up at the beginning as soon as we say goodnight. And but when I start streaming tonight's show 24/7, you will be kicked off and you'll have to log back on to hear it. Just got a text that says clear example, so that's good.
Good.
Oh, looks like we got an email. It says, hello, everyone. Not buying into your past or present problems would sure eliminate a lot of drama and distractions that keep us from seeing grace all around us. Good show. Oh, they are. We finally, you know, I don't know what they're up to. It is the summertime. It is summer. There's a lot going on, and so I'm sure they're pretty busy, but the last couple of shows, they haven't said hello till the end.
Riding that Harley.
But, man, Grandpa's flying on that thing.
He's got a heavy hand, doesn't he?
He does. He cranks that handlebar throttle, and I can just see, you know, Grandma's got her legs wrapped around his waist, and, you know, probably a beverage in one hand, and, you know, waving at people in the other, flying by at about 25 miles an hour.
Talking about jerking that neck back.
Over the speed limit.
Gee.
Well, that's what, you know, when you're outlaw bikers... That's what, you know, there's no limit to that outlaw biker attitude. So, what do you think? Right?
Yeah. I look forward to hearing some testimonies here tomorrow night at the library at 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. And that's at the Hardesty Library for the Bible study, What is Reality?
Folks, why don't you do enjoy your week and... remember, it's hot out there, and animals have less of a tolerance for high heat than people do because of their fur coats. Make sure they have plenty of water to drink out of the sun. Don't leave them in parked cars. Just take care of them. Jim and I will see you here next week. I'll be checking the P.O. box next Tuesday night, so... The address is on the website, how to mail anything that you want to put in the mail. And apparently something's coming from Trinidad where assembly is required.
Assembly, yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Ranger? What else, Ranger? Ranger, what else? There you have it, folks. And remember, dogs spelled backwards.